G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, October 28 already. And that means it is Cox Plate Carnival weekend. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again, Joel Marshall. And Joel, well, it's a huge 24 hours, as they keep telling us. And probably the race of the weekend, if you ignore the history that may well take place on Saturday, is on the Friday night. It is the Ladbrokes Mankato Stakes.
Yeah, it is a huge weekend, as you said. Maybe not huge by numbers, especially that Saturday program there at the Valley. A lot of the races light on numbers, but of course, history likely to be made. But yes, probably the race of the two days or night and day is that Mankato Stakes Group 1 race for the sprinters. They didn't get a capacity field. I thought they may have. Just missed out there. But good race. Plenty of chances. I'm surprised how short Vega Magic is. I think I saw $2.20 this morning. So very short. But look, he's clearly going to be hard to beat. I think that's a bit short, though.
Yes, well, let's get stuck straight into that. We'll take you through the carnival, starting with the Mankato and our best bets for Friday night, and then we'll go straight into All the Black type for Saturday. In fact, we'll do the whole card for Saturday because we'll do the English banner as well. The Mankato. Well, look, I've gone for Chautauqua. He's a hard to catch, obviously, because of the way he races. No surprise to see him get knocked off in the Everest, and indeed unplaced from three runs this campaign. But barrier 10. Be plenty of clear air. I guess I'm just gambling on, you'd think there'll be a fair bit of pace in this, but just gambling on them being able to make ground, which you certainly think they would on the Friday night.
Yeah, well, look, I've been with Chautauqua in the Premier and the Everest. He's just taken forever to wind up. No knock on B. Abdullah. Maybe he'll switch on for D. Dunn. Of course, he's done it before aboard him, but look, he was just charging to the line in the Everest. Ridden a treat too, I might add, by B. Abdullah, I thought. I think he had a few knockers and he came out on social media and explained, that gave a run through of the ride, which I didn't think he needed to. I thought he rode it a treat. He saved the ground and never got held up, and he charged home, but just gave them too much of a start.
So, yeah, and really, in hindsight, given the explanation, just never had a chance in the race.
No, and sadly for those that thought he'll be charging into a place, like myself, unfortunately, there were three in front of him and he ended up finishing fourth, but it was a huge run, and look, he's clearly good enough to win, but I just worry that he's just taking too long to wind up, and the shorter straight is going to be a bit of a query. We've seen him do it at the Valley before, but look, I'm sticking within her time. I've got no reason to jump off her. Huge fan of hers. She's come back this time in. Won the Premier. I thought that might have got her a spot in the Everest, but it didn't. She then went to the consolation, and a nice consolation it was, the $500,000 Sydney Stakes. She was getting a little bit tired late, but Impending was charging, and Impending is a Group 1 winner and a good horse, and he'll be hard to beat. I think in the Daly Classic, she's drawn well in her time. No worry about the bar plates going back on. Clearly they've got some feet issues with her. She's won with the bar plates twice, including first up. They came off last start, but they're back on. Usually they're a bit of a no-no, but she's clearly proven that she can do it with them. So look, I'm with her. I've thrown in Vega Magic for second. He was super in the Everest, back and wide against the pattern, ran on strongly. He's drawn to take up a dominant position on pace. Won Chautauqua for third, and for fourth I threw in number six Voodoo Lad. He's going to need a bit of luck from that inside gate, but he's going really well and he's got a good Valley record.
As I mentioned, Chautauqua for me, number one to beat two Vega Magic, nine in her time. And for fourth, the South Australian Vidora, number 10. My best at the Valley is race 8, number 1, Hell of a Street. As you know, I do like the Tasmanians. The Hell of a Street, very talented Tasmanian, has had the one tune up, ready to come over and go bang. And my value bet was race 5, number 10, Appalachian Annie, resuming in the 55-second challenge heat. First up for Graham Big.
Yeah, well, I made In Her Time my best, and my value is Onerous in the last. A horse that I was on early doors and sort of jumped off him. He's been around a bit. He was with Hawks, then to Waller, back to Hawks, and he wasn't able to win last prep. That was with back with Team Hawks, but he ran a couple of okay races. First start for Mitch Beer and Max Hinton. They're a good team. He's run well at the Valley before, and I can just see him. He's got a good fresh record too. If there's a little bit of support for him, I can certainly have something on him in what is a pretty wide race to finish the night.
All right. Well, we stay at the Valley, of course, on Saturday. And there is a rich race to kick off the card. Race one, the English Banner for two-year-olds. We've seen three of them before. I've had a few of these spruiked to me so far. Joel Setsuna certainly has the score on the board, second in a listed race already, and form around that stacked up pretty well.
Yeah, she ran well in the Gymcrack. Third horse Fiesta ran well at Randwick last week. I've gone for number four, Bionics. From Ellerton Zara team, they've given him a good grounding, three jump outs, and hasn't been knocked around in any of them, and he seems to do it all pretty professionally. Karen McAvoy to ride, happy to have a little bet on him to beat number one Grand Challenge. I thought there were a few excuses first start. He got back, checked, and raced a little bit greenly. Blinkers on, he can certainly improve with that experience. Seven Ferro from the T McAvoy yard, who I'm not sure if this is one of the ones you've had a tip about, but certainly I've had a bit of a tip.
Yes, I have, yep.
Yep, she's trialled up quite nicely. And six Setsuna in for fourth.
And I went four Setsuna, number six, to beat five Jawal, 11 Trilly, nine Miss Blumenthal. Mind you, that was before I'd had the spruik on Farrow. And Bionics, they're quite keen on, aren't they? We'll skip race two. We'll go to race three, Telstra Foamwords Stakes, group three. For three-year-olds over 1,200.
I went with number one Single Bullet, expecting the Viridine form line to hold up. I think he's into favourite now for the Coolmore Stakes during Cup Week. Is Viridine unbeaten four from four? Single Bullet was a little bit unlucky first up in the Heritage. He was held up at a key stage. He was no match for Viridine last start in the Roman Consul, but just expecting that form line to hold up. So I'm gone with him. A big watch on number 11, Surgeon. Paul Perry, always very wary of his runners down in Melbourne this time of the year. He's been taken along slowly. Interestingly, he's already been to a mile. Now he's back to 1,200 metres, but he's got some ability, this bloke. So huge odds. Don't leave him out of your multiples. Four, Trekking, off a bit of a freshen. And two, Ducimus, first up for the Mick Price yard. Certainly has his share of talent.
One Single Bullet for me from four, Trekking. Nine, Eptimum. And number six, A Clear Sunshine. Race four at the Valley on Saturday, Ladbroke's Crockett Stakes. This one for fillies, three-year-old fillies over 1,200. And it is a listed race.
Now, I've gone against the favourite here. No knock on her. She looks smart, number eight, Demerara, and she's jumped out well at Flemington. She'll be really hard to beat. But I like the debut win of number 11, She's Popular. Nicely bred daughter of Savabeel from the Waikato stud team. For Hayes Dabernig, jumped out really well, ran right up to that with a good win at Kilmore, showed nice speed there, and I think she can go on with the job. Obviously, this is tougher, but she's a bit of value to beat. Eight, Demerara. Nine, Josephine C, I thought was okay. First up at Caulfield, she was beaten seven, but Invincible Star did win the race by four, so that margin's not as bad as what it reads. She can improve, and in for fourth, number seven, Sanadar.
Demerara with the favourite here, number eight, to beat three Ramuz, seven Sanadart, and four another Tasmanian, GG Lannett. Race five at the Valley on Saturday, Powerflow Solutions Stakes for Mez over 1,600 at Group 3 level.
I went for number six, Oregon's Day here. She missed a few runs through drawing wide barriers. They elected to go from the wide barrier against the boys last time out at Caulfield, and she was very good. Hit the line strongly there behind Fast and Rocking. Back to Mare's grade, and she's a winner at the Valley. Pretty keen on her to beat number one, French Emotion, who was sound first up in the Blazer Stakes with the big weight and the wide draw. Hit the line quite nicely. Another winner at this venue. For third, number five, Invincibella. She's come back in really good order with two good wins over the males in Sydney. And in for fourth, number two, Consommateur. She was doing some nice late work in the Stock Stakes first up.
And I am with Consommateur as my value bet on the program, number two, to beat five Invincibella, six Oregon's Day, and eight Savapinski. We come now to the Moonee Valley Gold Cup. Race six completes the early Quaddy McCaffey Moonee Valley Gold Cup. 2,500 and just seven in it.
Yeah, just the seven, and we've got a pretty warm favourite in number one, Big Duke. I was with Auvray to beat Big Duke in the St. Ledger, and I'm going to stick that way. I thought Auvray was really good. He was held up behind one of the 200-to-1 shots at a key stage. He really picked up and found the line well, though, and I thought he did a good job to get within three quarters of a length of Big Duke. And look, he's going super for Richard Friedman. I think he's perhaps the value. Can turn the tables on one Big Duke. Five, Who Shot the Barman, put in a rare bad performance by his standards in the St. Ledger. He's obviously getting on. He's a 9-year-old, but he'd showed in his previous two runs that he was clearly going well. But yeah, just a little bit disappointing last start. Be keen to see how he bounces back. And seven, Sismontane, is a winner at the Valley and was placed in the St. Ledger.
Yeah, I thought Big Duke would hold out over again under the conditions. I think they meet at the same weights.
Yeah.
Sismontane for third, number seven, and four, Cool Chap for fourth. Race seven, first leg of the quaddy at the Valley on Saturday. iTalk Travel Fillies Classic, formerly the Moonee Valley Oaks, 1600 for three-year-old fillies.
Number seven, Nothing On Me, a former Kiwi filly. She ran well in the Group 1 size produce over there at a big price behind Melody Bell. She came across here, joined the Kieran Maher yard, of course now trained by Aaron Purcell. She was rolled first up at an odds-on quote at Warwick Nabil. Short straight, didn't really suit her, and she was looking for a bit further. She went to Pakenham and loved the big straight there over 1400. This is tougher. I think she's a filly that's going places and will appreciate the step up in distance. So I've gone her way to beat five, Speedway. James Cummings backs this filly up from her run in the Ethereal last week over 2,000 metres. She was held up for far too long. She hit the line quite well. Number three in for third, Glam Guru, a filly I've always had a bit of time for over in SA. She can do a few things wrong, but she's got talent. And number two in for fourth, Banish, overcame the track bias with a superior finish there at Cranbourne last start.
Yeah, and I went for Banish, in fact made her my best despite Barrier 11, number 2 to beat 5, Speedway 8, Touch of Mink, and 6, Pageantry. Race 8 is the Schweppes Crystal Mile. It's a Group 2 at weight for age over 1600 naturally. And fun fact, since the Manikato meeting was moved to Cox Plate Eve, Barriers 1 and 2 have provided the winner on 4 of 5 occasions, which is a bit counterintuitive. You'd think with all the racing on it, the inside would be off. But anyway, that's my selection. It's Somewhat has come up with 1, so that'll do me. You, Joel?
Yeah, that'll do me as well. I'm with It Somewhat. I thought he did enough in the first in the Rupert Clark first up. He drew wide, they went back, which is against his best pattern of racing, and he followed the rails home, and whilst he finished 10th, he was beaten less than 4 lengths, and it was certainly a pass mark. He won the Doncaster second up last prep. He then went to the Gold Coast and beat Single Gaze in the Hollandale, which is form that has been franked. It's, you know, you can make a case for plenty of these, but I am pretty keen on It Somewhat to beat. 3, Burning Front, likes the Valley. He was really good last start, just last week at Caulfield. I think he's the hardest to beat. 7, Antonio Giuseppe, fresh and back to the mile. He can improve. And 8, Sound Proposition, wasn't bad in the Epsom.
And I'm with It Somewhat, as I mentioned, from 8, Sound Proposition. 10, Windspell, for third, and your old friend Joel, number 6, Petrology, so he ran into fourth. Well, the big one is race 9. It's worth $3 million. It is the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, 2040 metres, weight for age, Championship of Australasia, and interest, I guess, only in the minors, Joel.
Yeah, well, we certainly ended up with a bigger field than perhaps what we're expecting this time last week. We've got 8 rivals, 4 winks. Yeah, as you said, interest in the multiples. I don't think we can make a case for anything to beat her. Galo Chop's going really well. He'll probably go to the front and give her a little bit to chase. Royal Symphony is a talented 3-year-old, and we've seen them go really well in this race, of course, in the past. Just not sure. Someone pointed out to me that you know, he ran probably as well as So You Think did in a Caulfield Guineas, but So You Think went forward and won his Cox Plate from the front, which was certainly a good effort to do, but I don't think, I can't see Royal Symphony doing that just on his pattern to date, and therefore it probably negates his advantage at the weight. So 8 winks, I've thrown in Galo Chop for second, he's going really well. 9 Royal Symphony in for third, and 3 Humidor backs up from the Caulfield Cup, where he ran really well. He did a fair bit of work early, and they've finally put the blinkers on him for the drop back in distance.
And I've got Winks number 8 to beat 5 Folkswood. Just seen that horse the once. Don't possibly don't know his limitations yet. 9 Royal Symphony. and one happy clapper. The last of 18 races at the Valley Cox Plate Carnival is race 10 on Saturday, Drummond Golf Vase. Over the Cox Plate course of 40 metres for the three-year-olds at level weights.
Sticking with Aloysia, no reason to jump off her after she got the cash in the 1,000 guineas. It was a lovely ride by Luke Nolan, used the inside, got every run she needed to get in the straight, but still won the race well, and she looks like a filly that's only going to get better over ground. So the Oaks favourite on top for me to beat the boys, over number 3, Selsamore. I thought he was really good in the Caulfield Guineas. He got a long way back. He made good ground. Just peaked on his run late. He'll be fitter for that, and I think the extra distance will suit. 5, Vinda Dance, ran really well at his Australian debut. And the winner of that, Temple of Bell, is high up in Oaks betting now, and I think that form will hold up. And 1, Cliff's Edge. No knock on him on the back up from last week, where he did have it made to suit in front. Perhaps he may get that again here.
Aloysia for me too, number 9 to beat 3, Selsamore, 1, Cliff's Edge, and 5, Vin de Dance. My best, as I mentioned, race 7, number 2, Vanish. My value bet, race 5, number 2, Consommateur.
It's somewhat my best, race 8, number 1, and my value is nothing on me, race 7, number 7.
Interesting to note this meeting, our three best bets tipsters, that is I, David Gately and Brendan Tupper, 6 races we've all tipped the same horse. So, you know, either there's going to be some small multiple dividends out there, or we've just got no idea. You and I, Joel, of course, got the same 3 in the last 3. So, I mean, the quaddie, we just go field in the Phillies Classic.
And then blom, yeah.
Blom, blom, blom. We move to, well, we don't move. We go back to Randwick for Sydney racing on Saturday. No black tie, but fields holding up quite well. What have you found for us there?
Yeah, decent-sized fields. I think it's looking for a little bit of a break, Randwick. They've got a meeting there on Cup Day. We're back at Rose Hill next Saturday, and then Randwick-Melbourne Cup Day, and then I think they've got a bit of a break for 3 or 4 weeks, which will be well-deserved. My best is Takedown, old favourite of mine. I think he needs to stand up on Saturday, but I think he will. His first two runs this time in were good, beaten 2 lengths by Redzel in the short, beaten 1.5 by In Her Time in the Premier. Went to the Sydney Stakes last start, a little bit flat, a little bit disappointing. Tim Clark got off and suggested he needed further. So the connections have listened. He's up to 1,400. The claim for Lee Magorian, who's riding in some decent form at the moment, gets him in with 60 kilos, and that's a winnable weight. He's a hulk of a horse, and the big weight won't worry him. So he's my best, race 8, number 1. And my value is race 7, number 1, Shel Meneza. Hasn't won for a while, but he's certainly been contesting stronger fields than he meets here. Group 2, Group 3, weight for age, his past 2 runs, and I thought his effort in the Hill Stakes 2 back was pretty good. His last 100 metres, he was really hitting the line. The claim for Deanne Pena gets him down to 58, which is a winnable weight for him. So they're probably the two I'll be looking at. The last race, maybe a Quinella. Into Lock It Up should win again. I thought Dark Eyes was ready to win. I'm a bit disappointed that he's got a run against Into Lock It Up, but maybe play the Quinella, those two.
They're racing on the course proper at Morfordville on Saturday. Just the 7 races, fairly small fields, and looks like the special that our experts can agree on is race 7, number 14, Invisible Girl for Lloyd Kennywell. James Jordan says, thought this mare's win last start was better than it looked. Had to run a slick sectional to pick up the leaders. Meets a similar field. Gate 13, not much of an issue from the 1,200 metre start. And it is the last race anyway, so the swoopers might be effective. Joel, anything to say about Morfordville?
Just a first starter that I've seen at the trials from the McAvoy Yard, race 2, number 7, Hakaya. He does have a couple in the race, and it looks a bit of a hot race because I know the Hawks horse has jumped out nicely, Heart Conquered. But Hakaya has been given a good grounding, 2 jump outs and a trial, and she looks to have a bit of ability.
Doobin, again, the venue for Saturday racing in Brisbane. And after last week's washout, we do have quite a number of horses to analyse and contend with. Joel, I know you didn't exactly relish the task of studying this meeting with 166 acceptors. As we speak, 12 of them are out, but very hard to work out markets and so forth with up to 6 emergencies in some of these races.
Yeah, tricky meeting to assess this far out. You'll certainly be wanting to have a look after scratchings on Saturday, but Nevertheless, I think we've come up with a couple that have got good chances. Don't Tell Mama I Made My Best Race 8, number one. She's first up, so certainly you'd want to get a little bit of a guide from the betting ring and just how she parades there. But she's a talented mare. She missed the Quinella only once in six starts last time in. Emma Young won on her at Doomben last prep. She takes the mount, gets her in with 57 kilos. Drawn to do no work. I think she'll be really hard to beat. And my value, which I did nearly make my best, to race 6, number 11, Seductive Dream. She was the value bet a fortnight ago. She ran fourth, just missed a place. Jeff Lloyd aboard, second up. Step up in distance will certainly suit. I think she'll take plenty of holding out.
Ascot again, the venue for Perth racing on Saturday. Iron Jack Belgravia Stakes is race 6. 1,200 for the three-year-olds. Few up-and-comers here, and Greg Hoops Hooper likes Art Series. Outstanding in defeat in the Bunbury Classic over 1,000 first up. Did a mountain of work, fought on with great heart. Rises to 1,200. That is ideal. Is drawn in 6 to lead and control the race. Can give it a big shake. Anything you've got to say about Ascot, Joel?
No, nothing for me, but I'll have to start getting my eye back in as we get towards the Summer Carnival.
And Greg's best earlier in the card, that was his value bet, best bet earlier in the card. Race 2, number 2, Floyd, who in a reverse scenario to Art Series is dropping from 1,200 to 1,000, but Greg thinks that in fact will be a plus. Stretched out to the 1,200 last start, still too fast, back to 1,000, even better suited. Well, we've got an interesting situation in New Zealand earlier in the day, Joel, because do they do this every Cox Plate Day? They're racing in all three major cities. They're Trentham in Wellington, Riccarton in Christchurch, and Ellerslie in Auckland.
Yeah, they often have three meetings, but yeah, you're right. All the three sort of the major racetracks throughout New Zealand, and we have black type racing at all three venues. And I think, not a lack of jockeys, but certainly it's given an opportunity to a few jockeys there, including Zach Spain. Victorian Apprentice has headed across to ride at Ellerslie. He's got three rides, including in the feature, the Soliloquy Stakes, which is race 7 on the card. He rides Belle de Nord, who I have got in my picks, but I'm with number 7, Charlie Rose, there, and she is my value. My best at Ellerslie is race 1, number 3, Sheridan. Got the cash for us last start, second up from a spell. Looking for further, gets it on Saturday. Should kick off the day on a good note. Riccarton, down in the south, they've got a couple of listed races. My best and value don't appear in those. My best is Lady Amadeus, race 3, number 9. Got the maiden win out of the way first up. I think she can go on with the job. And my value is Morse Code, race 5, number 6. Certainly La Diosa, a classy mare, Group 1 winner, will be tough to beat. But Morse Code's up and going, has the fitness edge and might use that to his advantage. Trentham, the best bet is in the feature there, race 7, the Thompson Handicap at Group 3 level, number 5, High Flyer. He's only missed the Quinella twice in his career. He's a son of Tavistock. He's always been destined to reach the highest level, and I think he can do that this time in and break through for his first stakes success. And my value bet is Effectarve, race 6, number 3. Resumed from a spell a fortnight ago, finished 5th, but beaten less than 2 lengths. She was hitting the line nicely. Drops back a rating band, and the step up to 1,600 will suit.
Okay, well, having dealt with a big Friday and Saturday of racing around Australasia, we don't forget your Winning Post covers you all the way to Sunday, where there's two Country Cups in Victoria, led by the $200,000 Ladbrokes Sale Cup, race 7 at Sale on Sunday over 1,600 metres. Paul Richards likes Steel Frost for Will Strike Rate. Clarken has undefeated from 4 starts since joining Will Clarken. Barrier 13, won't worry, we'll get back, run on. Steel Frost is Richo's selection. You had a look at Sale at all, Joel?
Just a quick look. I think Rhythm to Spare will be pretty hard to beat from the Moroni Yard. Very consistent galloper. He's going well. And Michael Walker gets the ride on the OTI horse, Fastnet Latina. Fastnet Tempest. Expected to improve off the local debut there at Caulfield, so expect improvement from him.
And in the Bet365 Hamilton Cup, which is race 6 at Hamilton on Sunday, worth $60,000, Richo likes number 3, Andrea Mantegna, and a cup in the west of Victoria to be won by Darren Weir and Dean Yendall You probably won't get any sort of flash odds about that, but that is Richo's selection. Leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Got a couple of great interviews that Richo's done, one with Tony McAvoy, one with Greg Childs. We've got Matt Stewart's controversial new column. We've got Shane Templeton reminisces about some of the great Cox plates that have ended in the year in the number, where the year has ended in the number seven. Joel, who have you talked to on page two?
Simon Zara this week. They've got some nice chances, the Elephant Zara team, headed up Friday night by Smart Coupe, promising unbeaten filly, and Saturday, the two-year-old we mentioned, Bionics, and Rock and Gold, in the only race we didn't cover there on the Saturday. He's a bit of a short course specialist. He'll run well in that 9.55 race.
Okay, well, so do make sure you pick up that winning post if you haven't already. It is 112 pages, the biggest winning post of the year, and all the form for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as I mentioned. And finally, our best $20 bet for the weekend. Joel, I'll let you kick off.
Yep. We got the cash last week with Kaonic, and we're going to go, it could be a long 48 hours if this gets rolled, but In Her Time in the big one on Friday night. Yes, it's a tough race, but I've got lots of faith in her, so we'll stick with her. Race 7, number 9 on Friday night.
Well, I'll go for a shorter one where I've got Joel's full support, and that is on Saturday, race 8, number 1. It's Somewhat. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We will be back, and we will hope to talk Carl into coming out of retirement for a big derby special next Thursday. Talk to you then.